Radio Prague News.
The Daily Pravo writes the Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil is receiving heavy criticism from his party's leadership. Hackers have attacked the website of the music rights management company Intergram, and several paintings believed to have belonged to Adolf Hitler's art collection have been identified in a North Bohemian monastery. The Daily Pravo writes that Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil is receiving heavy criticism from his party's leadership, some of whom have reportedly demanded his resignation. Citing anonymous participants of a meeting of the top Civic Democrat leadership on Thursday, the paper writes that Mr. Pospíšil was attacked from all sides regarding his designation of the head of the Supreme State Prosecutor's Office in Prague. The Justice Minister dismissed the previous head, Vlastimil Rampula, last November and replaced him with Stanislav Mečel. A criminal complaint was reportedly filed against the Justice Minister this week on the grounds that that the head of the Supreme State Prosecutor's Office must be appointed to the post, which Mr. Mečel was not. Mr. Rampula has since received a court verdict that he be reinstated. Prime Minister Petr Nečas stated he is seriously dissatisfied with the crisis at the office. Mr. Pospíšil maintains that he did not err in his decision and says there has been no talk of his own dismissal. Hackers have attacked the website of the music rights management company Intergram. The attackers published the company's database online in response to a call from the international hacktivist group Anonymous to take over the sites of, quote, corrupt corporations and government systems. A message left on the Intergram site said the group was eliminating obsolete power structures and business mechanisms that have proven a hindrance to human development. Similar attacks have frequently occurred in recent weeks to protest the International ACTA Treaty, which is aimed at combating counterfeiting and online piracy. A part of Adolf Hitler's collection of paintings has been rediscovered by an amateur Czech historian. Jiří Kukáš identified the seven paintings in a private section of the depository of the Doksany Monastery in northern Bohemia. Hitler had originally hid the works of art, which were either bought or seized, in the south Bohemian town of Vyšný Brod, apparently in preparation for the opening of a museum. After Germany's defeat, the U.S. Army sent the collection to a gathering point for similar artifacts. How the seven paintings came to be in Doksany is not known, according to TV Nova, which reported that no one from the monastery's staff knew of their origin. The station estimated that the works could fetch up to 50 million crowns at auction. Now, turning to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly overcast with temperatures between 3 and 8 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Welcome to the program. My name is Sarah Barufka. Coming up in today's show, a happening is going on in support of an artist whose controversial prison sentence starts on Friday here in Prague. We have all the latest business news for you, and later on in the program, we hear about a project called Favorite Sounds of Prague, which attempts to draw attention to the soundscape of the Czech capital. All that coming up, so do stay with us. Activists are holding a protest happening in front of Prague's Pankrác prison, where Czech artist Roman Tietz on Friday afternoon is starting a one-month prison sentence for a 2007 art project that involved defacing 50 traffic lights in Prague by changing the standard red and green figures to show them in situations such as drinking, urinating, and being hanged. The artist says he chose prison time over paying a fine because otherwise, he would be renouncing the project's message. Titled Babovka pro Tietze, or A Cake for Tietz, the happening is as tongue-in-cheek as the art project itself. As a sign of their solidarity, participants will bring cakes to the prison, an allusion to the well-known prison cliché of a cake with a file in it. Ahead of the start at 2 p.m., I spoke to co-organizer Magda Vigenska about the unusual happening.
Our car is the first marble cake or babovka for Mr. Tietz, and babovka is the symbol which we want to, with this symbol, we want to show that we disagree with this punishment. And so people who think the same as we do will go there, and with their babovkas will show that they disagree as well with this judgment, with this prison for 1 month.
And I believe that Tietz himself has actually said that he would not accept a presidential pardon, which I think that is something that this happening is also trying to initiate. And Tietz has said that he has to go to prison if he wants to be taken seriously as an artist. Have you talked to him about his views on the actual happening?
We are in a contact with the people which are really close to him, but he's not really involved in this initiation, in this babovka for Mr. Tietz. And I think that he likes it because he understands that people want to show what they think, that they disagree with this. But I think that according to this, if he is going to be free by president or not, it's the question for him, not for us. And I think that, yes, he will not accept, but we really do not know. And we don't talk about this with him.
And now, of course, there has been another development in this story. Late on Wednesday night, he was actually arrested for allegedly attacking a police officer. What is your stance on this latest dimension and the possible sentence of 4 years for that?
Well, we, of course, disagree with any kind of aggressivity. And this is the main thing that I want to point out. But we really do not know what happened. And there are people who were at this accident, at this incident, and they saw that probably the story is a little bit different, that he was attacked and he was not the person who was attacking. But we were not there. And I think that this is another topic. Of course, that it happened one day before our happening, but this is not really connected, and well, we will see what's going on in this topic. We will see, but we have our reasons why we believe that he's not guilty in this case, and we think that he didn't do anything bad.
And lastly, there has also been a similar case of a driver from Olomouc, Roman Smetana, who will also be serving a sentence for drawing on political campaign posters. These sentences by some lawyers have been called too harsh. Do you think that the Czech judicial system is at fault here?
Well, I think that what I know about it, I disagree with this as well. And I think that Czech people should show what they really think. And that they disagree with this kind of punishment, because there are much serious cases which would be solved, and not this, if someone is going to show in an art way some opinion.
Magda Vídeňská, co-organizer of Babovka pro Tietze, or A Cake for Tietz. And that is, of course, a quite controversial issue. So if you would like to share your take about this on our Facebook page, we'd sure be happy to hear from you. And now let's go from the art business to just plain business with this week's business news brought to you by Jan Wellinger.
Thank you, Sarah. Now, fuel prices at Czech gas pumps are reaching new highs, with a liter of Natural 95, the most widely used gas, up by 20 hellers to 36.16 crowns in the space of 1 week. Diesel prices have also risen in the last week, up 14 hellers to 36.63 crowns per liter. Both fuels have risen in price by around 1 crown since January, according to a study by CCS, a Czech Credit and Debit Card Association. Rises in global crude prices are the main cause of the increases at Czech pumps, coupled with the effects of a strong dollar and weak crown. Since the beginning of the month, crude prices have risen by 12%, with geopolitical factors, including tensions over Iran, playing a role, while some analysts predict Czech petrol prices could climb as high as 37 crowns per liter.
And a little more context on the state of the Czech crown, which on Wednesday mysteriously weakened significantly, losing 29 hellers and falling to 25.15 crowns to the euro. The crown also fell by 24 hellers against the dollar, standing at 19.01 crowns to the dollar. According to Patria Finance analyst Tomáš Vlk, there were no domestic reasons for the sudden fall, while a Reuters analyst noted that the money markets at the time were seeing investors making strong purchases of the euro in reaction to news of the Greek bailout deal. On Thursday, the crown bounced back somewhat against both the euro and the dollar, rising to 25.12 crowns to the euro and 18.87 crowns to the dollar.
The European Commission has revised downwards its economic forecast for 2012. The eurozone is set to experience negative GDP growth of 0.3%, revised from an earlier estimate of 0.5 growth. Meanwhile, the estimate for the entire EU is down from 1.5 growth to 0 growth in 2012. The Czech Republic, initially forecast last November to grow by 1.7%, is also revised down to 0% growth in 2012. Poland is expected to see the most growth, 2.5%, while Greece is expected to see the strongest recession, shrinking by 4.4% in this year. Neighboring Slovakia has had its growth revised down from 3.3% to 1.2%.
Now, the new head of the Czech food giant Hamé, Martin Strupel, has promised that the company will mend its ways after repeated acts of deception were unveiled by food inspectors. In the past, reports IDNES, inspectors found that many of the company's products had far lower levels of certain ingredients, for example, meat in preserved food or tomatoes and ketchup, than it was declaring in its official ingredients lists. According to Martin Strupel, who took over as head of the company in January, the company has now set up a strict ethical codex to make sure that standards are not allowed to fall again. Hamé produces 120,000 tons of food annually, and the company insists that deceptive practices were only related to a small fraction of products in its budget range.
And finally, the Czech Culture Ministry has suspended accepting applications for its film production incentive program, saying it has run out of money. Under the scheme designed to bolster domestic filmmaking and lure foreign productions, 20% of the costs of making movies and TV shows are refunded by the government. But the rebate scheme has reportedly found itself in the midst of a crisis, with only 300 million crowns left to reimburse 500 million crowns of already approved costs. One proposed solution is reducing the reimbursement rate from 20% to 14%, but this has raised concerns of an exodus of production from the country. 72 new applications from both domestic and foreign producers were lodged at the last minute before the deadline for the cessation of new applications expired in February, reports ČTK. But the crisis may still impact already approved productions in the country, such as the French TV series Borgia and the Brad Pitt movie Grey Man. The Culture Ministry has said it is in talks with the Finance Ministry to try and find a solution.
Jan Wellinger with this week's business news there. Thank you very much for this, Jan. And now, in this edition of the Arts, Radio Prague's Ruth Frankova brings the story of an unusual soundscaping project.
Prague is the city of 100 spires and countless historic sites, but what does it look like when you close your eyes? A new project called Favorite Sounds of Prague attempts to draw attention to the soundscape of the Czech capital, exploring how local people perceive the sounds that surround them. One of the fruits of the project will be an archive of sounds, something like an acoustic portrait of the city. The man behind the idea is British artist Peter Kusak, who has carried out similar projects in several cities across the world. The Czech project is supported by a German state fund and is coordinated by Miloš Vojtěchovský.
The original project, Your Favorite London Sounds, was a kind of outbranch of the radio program which Peter Kusak was doing for Resonance FM. art radio in London, where people could call him describing by words or by recorded sound what is their opinion about some places or their favorite sounds in the neighborhood. And this simple idea seemed to be so challenging for people that the program had gradually their own website, and Peter Kusak also published a CD where he selected 70 minutes from the sounds which different people and him collected. Since then he did several events in Chicago, in Montreal, in Beijing. So why not try Prague? We don't have an art radio in Prague or in Czech Republic. So we did it without radio.
So how does it work then?
First we spread out questionnaires among different people, and we are still continuing to get some kind of indication about the person who is talking about it. Then we organize several workshops where people can come and find out what is it about and how you can contribute or participate. And then we organize several sound walks, which is a old simple idea that somebody is creating a walk through town and let people listen or explain what he thinks about different places from the kind of sonic point of view.
So basically anyone can contribute, anyone can take part?
Of course. The website is already on and everybody can log in, fill in the questionnaire, log in just to describe or upload the sounds if he has abilities or devices to record it.
Are there any unique sounds in Prague that cannot be heard in other European cities? Local people may not notice them anymore, but those who visit the city for the first time may actually find some of the sounds quite unusual.
Peter Kusak, he was surprised by the air raid sirens, which are going on every month, which is quite unusual for somebody who is living in England and actually in most of the European towns. He was very interested or actually impressed by the idea that everybody can approach railway systems in Prague and so experience also the sounds of the trains, which he found out that, you know, the trains are actually omnipresent everywhere in Prague, more or less everywhere, which is probably one of the specific traces of Prague soundscape. He also noticed that there is a lot of sound of nature in Prague, which you wouldn't really guess before paying attention to it. Actually more nature sounds than in London. It seems that the Prague parks are a little bit more wild than the London parks, so the variety of different animal species, birds, is probably higher.
Now, you said the project is still continuing, but you must now already have some sort of general picture. What do people mention as their most favorite sounds in the questionnaires that you handed out?
It is different for different groups of population, of course, but generally, with the exception of children, which prefer the sounds which are more noisy and loud. Most of people have a preference for quiet sounds and nature sounds or something very intimate. People are preferring to live in a more quiet environment where they can distinguish more variety of sounds.
So
Would you say that as the sound or the noise sort of generally increases, that there are some sounds that are disappearing from the city?
It seems that some sounds are disappearing together with the objects or activities where the sound originated from. So, for example, freight trains, you know, they are disappearing from Prague last few years. So this high squeezing of the wagons, which have been moved mostly during the night, where a lot of people remember from probably laying sleepless in the night, they are more or less gone, because also these whole areas are erased from Prague. Old people still remember sound of the street markets, which more or less also disappeared from Prague.
Is there any place that you would recommend sound-wise that you personally like?
I like more actually the outskirts of Prague than the center. It's also changing. Since we started to work on the project, you know, I'm going again to visit the locations or districts where I haven't been for several years. So, you know, I'm completely absorbed by walking in Prosek, in Ďáblice, Troja, Lisolaje, actually the places which 50 years have been more villages than part of Prague, and which is not the case anymore, but they are sometimes very fascinating. And the places like systems, you know, underground water systems, old sewage factory in Bubny, is amazing experience. Some of the churches were interesting. I think it's good to go and find out yourself.
Miloš Wojciechowski, coordinator of the Favorite Sounds of Prague project, was speaking to Radio Prague's Ruth Frankova, and this edition of The Arts was first broadcast in August 2008. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with ABC, our Czech language learning program brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Thanks for joining us again in exploring the Czech language from head to toe. We are still staying on the head, and our today's topic is hair. Czech distinguishes between bodily hair, facial hair, and the hair on your head. The word for that is
vlasy.
It has a singular form too. One hair is
vlas.
Whether they have blonde, black, straight, or curly hair, lots of it or none, Czechs use the word frequently in conversation because it is a part of many phrases and idioms. Being so thin, hairs often symbolize something narrow or weak. This quality is emphasized by the use of the diminutive
vlásek.
If Czechs say
jeho život visí na vlásku,
it means his life is hanging by a thread. And if they say
unikl o vlásek,
it means that someone had a narrow escape. If someone tears or pulls their hair out,
rve si vlasy.
In Czech, it suggests they are desperate rather than angry or anxious, as in the English idiom. The sight of something really frightening may make your hair curl or stand on end. In these situations, Czechs say their hair stands up in horror.
Vlasy vstávají hrůzou.
If two people have a heated argument, Czechs say
vjeli si do vlasů,
which translated word for word means they get in each other's hair, but the Czech expression is much stronger than the English idiom. The expression
přitažené za vlasy
or pulled by the hair usually refers to a story, an excuse or explanation. It means that it is far-fetched and not really believable. Another quality of hairs is that they look so much alike. If two things look or are exactly the same, Czechs say they are
na vlas stejné.
In the days when all women had long hair and all men had short haircuts, a rather sexist phrase was coined.
Dlouhé vlasy, krátký rozum.
Or long on hair, short on sense. But thanks to not only the wide variety of haircuts these days, the saying can no longer be applied in its original sense. And that's all we had to say about hair today. Next time, we will get our teeth into a brand new episode. Till then,
nashledanou.
Bye bye.
Pavla Horáková with ABC, wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. Of course, all our programs and others are also available at our internet address, radio.cz. And if you have any comments at all, we are always pleased to hear them. You can find us on Facebook, where we have a very active presence. And you can also contact us at email at english@radio.cz. And if you prefer good old-fashioned snail mail, the postal address here is Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.